and the game-winning goal will end the Maple Leaf season.
And again, Game 7 in Boston. The lead in the third period disappears with the Leaf season.
Really disappointing.
The group pulled together, to me, and the way it pulled together here in this last week, you know, this group was different this year. The core that you're referring to isn't different, but the guys around it were different. The feeling around the team was different. We played different.
We're right there. I mean, it's a very small difference. And just the type of hockey that we played, the way we needed to play to give ourselves a chance to win the series, there's no doubt that we're right there.
Well, look, I don't think there's an issue with the core. I think we were right there all series, battled hard, and I mean, got to Game 7 and OT. That's a feeling.
Hour 2 of First Up brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Aaron Carroll, Nick and Carlo Kuliak. Well, we were right up in there, according to William Nylander, which is true. They lost in overtime in Game 7. They had some injuries that they dealt with. Auston Matthews missed a couple of games. He was clearly compromised in Game 7. William Nylander missed 3 games. Joseph Woll missed Game 7, too. But the point remains that the Toronto Maple Leafs, once again, can't get it done in the biggest of moments. They fall 2-1 to the Boston Bruins, a team that, just own Toronto. Like, literally own Toronto. Time after time. Dude, that's four times in 11 years that Boston has eliminated the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. Like, wow.
Do you want to hear an even crazier stat?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The Bruins have owned the Maple Leafs. The Bruins' last 9 Game 7s, their record is 4-0 versus the Maple Leafs, 0-5 versus everybody else.
Oh, it's something. Like, it really is something.
It had a chance to end. All of this joke that the Maple Leafs have become to a lot of the hockey world had a chance to end. And Boston could have been the biggest joke that people were laughing at. Oh, my God, they lost the same way in back-to-back seasons. This is a team that can't get over them. They're cursed now. Fire the coach. Change this. Change that. Instead, it's Boston going to round 2, led by Jeremy Swayman, led by David Pastrnak, who got called out by his coach going into Game 6. And everyone's like, whoa, can't believe you did that. How could you do that right now in public? You're calling him out before Game 7. And the Maple Leafs left him off the hook. Simple as that.
I didn't even think Pastrnak was very good in that game.
No!
The game-winner goal. He was pretty much a ghost for all.
And that game-winning goal, credit to Boston, that game-winning goal was a set play. And it was executed to perfection.
Yeah.
It really was. So, and people are saying, oh, look at Marner on this play. Let me tell you something, okay? Marner came off the bench. There's nothing Marner could do to stop David Pastrnak on that one. Nothing.
Okay.
And so people are saying, play Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley was flat-footed on a dump-in.
Morgan Riley, Mitch Marner, and John Tavares had brutal series. Like, that trio had an awful, awful time against the Boston Bruins. And say what you will about John Tavares. I know he makes $11 million. When he signed that contract back in the summer of 2018, you could have predicted by 2024 he wouldn't be the same player. This is a guy who played PP1, played with some of your best talent, and scored 2 points in 7 games. Not good enough.
For
the captain.
You would think when they signed him to that contract, by this point,
you would have won something significant.
For the first 4 or 5 years, you'd probably be in conference final or something.
Very good point. It never happened. They won one round in the Tavares era, which may or may not be coming to an end. With regards to his future, yeah, I think the Leafs would love to get rid of John Tavares in that contract, but it's just simply going to be
I don't think the Maple Leafs would love to get rid of John Tavares, but his contract, yes.
Yeah, the contract, it's intertwined.
John Tavares at a limited role, maybe your third line center.
Yeah.
You know, could still be very, very productive.
Oh, yeah. The guy scored 28 goals. Yeah, sure. But he's miscast. He's not a real quality number two centerman, although, I don't know, Boston got through round number one with 3 number three centermen. So,
buddy,
kudos to them. Like,
their number one center had 0 goals in this series.
Did Zaka have a point in the series?
I don't even know.
He was awful. And Coyle, those guys did nothing. Anyways, back to the Leafs. Tavares
is there a world in which the Leafs are like, hey, would you be willing to move your no trade clause? We'll attach a second round pick and maybe some.
They don't have any.
I know. I'm just spitballing here. Tavares is going to be very tough to move. And his next contract with the Leafs will be at least half of what he makes now, maybe even a third of what he makes now. So let's work under the assumption that John Tavares remains a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs for one more year, and then they'll figure it out, because I think it'll be difficult to move him. But the Marner question, I think, is the most pressing one by a mile when it comes to the Leafs. And say what you will about Sheldon Keefe, maybe they keep him, maybe they don't. Maybe Craig Berube gets the job. Maybe it's Todd McClellan. Maybe it's Joel Quenneville. I think they're going to be looking for someone with significant esteem and Stanley Cup pedigree. That's very important, something Sheldon Keefe did not have. He wasn't able to get them over the top. I'm working under the assumption that they have a new head coach. But Marner has 1 year left on his deal, $10.9 million, a full no move, so he is in control. A lot of guys have been traded with full no move clauses before, and I do believe the Maple Leafs have to explore this. And Jonas Siegel, in his column following game number 7, had a comment in there that said that Marner seemed he was very much preparing to move on at the end of last season, is going to be open to the idea. That's kind of a paraphrase from me from what Jonas wrote in his column. But I think it's on the table for not only the Maple Leafs, but for Mitch Marner as well. What is your feel as to the future of Mitch Marner in the city of Toronto?
I think that if there's any big move that's going to be made with this group, it'll all depend on if Brandon Shanahan is still in charge. That's the way I feel. If Brandon Shanahan is removed or replaced, I hate to break it to you folks, but I don't see much change happening with this group. What would be different from this year and years past if Brandon Shanahan is still in charge? I mean,
well, Keith Pelly is the president and CEO.
I get it, but what I'm saying is I know who's in charge and who's responsible for what, but if Brendan Shanahan is still in charge, why would you expect major changes to this group? If, like, what would be different this year compared to in previous years?
Where they didn't win the first round would be different. They won the first round last year.
Yeah, okay, I get that, but they bowed out in 5 games after that.
They did.
Right?
I thought it was crazy they were bringing Keith back at that time.
And that's exactly my point. My point is that if Brandon Shanahan is still in charge, he'll probably listen to what the players have said and say, okay, you know, we were close. You know, he'll probably come out and say, you know, I've played with many players in my lifetime that were close and just had to stick it out. And it, so that's where I think it all starts. And look, I never want to sit here on live radio and start speculating on people's jobs and encouraging firings and this and that. To me, I think there has to be change. Where that change starts from, you know, pick your poison. It could be the coach, it could be the players, it could be in management, whatever it is. Something has to change with this group. Something did change with the group last year. Kyle Dubas wasn't back. They brought in a new manager. Right? That was a change. It wasn't behind the bench. It wasn't with the coach. And we saw, or sorry, it wasn't with the players, but we saw how that change happened. It turned into a fight between Dubas and Shanahan is what it turned into. And something we've never really seen happen with this group, with this leadership. And so does that change lead to something else? I think what most people want to see, yes, I think people want to see Mitch Marner move on. I think people want to see Sheldon Keefe be replaced. And to be honest with you, I think both moves are validated. Absolutely validated. I mean, for how much we praise Mitch Marner in this market, and there's a lot of praising going on, I don't think anybody can sit here today and say that Mitch Marner was a difference maker in this series in 7 games. If anything, he was the furthest thing from a difference maker in this series, where he was a complete, I wouldn't say no-show, but non-factor.
I would say he was a
complete non-factor in this series, which is a huge disappointment. Huge disappointment when you're coming and talking about everything Mitch Marner represents. This guy's an all-star, okay? An NHL All-Star.
In a regular season. He's not, okay, so I have a couple of stats here. And you brought up earlier in hour one about Marner's performance in the postseason. He leads the Maple Leafs in points, which is true. So
overall.
Yes. And in games 1-4 of series, Mitch Marner is over a point a game player. In games 5, 6, and 7, he's played 21 of those. Games 5, 6, and 7 has 9 points in those 21 games. Game 5 and 6, and certainly game 7, are a lot different than game 1, 2, and 3. That's just true. So that's an indictment. That's a damning stat. I hate that. That would be a tough one for Marner. I would grimace through that one. My question with the future of Mitch Marner, and I understand he's an all-star. He's a guy who's won, you know, first team, all right wing or whatever it is, and racked up a ton of points in the regular season. He's a great regular season player. He's not a great playoff performer. How many teams out there are lining up to acquire a $10.9 million cap hit for next season, acquire a guy who's going to be asking for a raise on that $10.9 million over a long period of time and give up significant assets to do so? I don't think there's some long lineup for that to happen.
I think you'd be surprised.
No, I think there may be a couple teams.
There are teams every year that are looking for elite talent.
No doubt. But the idea of all three of those things coming together, and I think the most pressing of those three is their return. You're not going to trade Mitch Marner for a second-round pick. You need something very significant to
You need recoup. A significant package.
You do, and I think it starts with like a top-four defenseman, a right shot who could quarterback your power play. That'd be a great start to any Marner deal. But you also have to factor in he's got a no move, so he can determine where he goes.
He controls where he wants to go.
Do I see Mitch Marner be like, sure, I'll go to Columbus. Send me over there. I'd love to go play there. I don't see that. So there's a lot of factors that make it a difficult trade to make. And I think in a perfect world, that'd be a trade the Leafs would love to make. But I don't think it's that easy.
Look, I feel like this Mitch Marner situation has become very toxic in this market. And I hate the fact that it's come to that, because I have a lot of respect for Mitch Marner as a person and even Mitch Marner as a player. I think he's a fantastic player, but it's no secret when playoffs come around, somehow, some way, he just hasn't been able to elevate his game to that same level, which sucks. It absolutely sucks for this team. It sucks for Mitch Marner, and it sucks that this is the taste he has left in Maple Leafs fans' mouth. Because, again, it's not about – hockey is more about what have you done for me lately. And clearly this playoff series has not enhanced the feeling that people should have about Mitch Marner and what he represents. So in saying that, this is a very similar situation that the Maple Leafs encountered with William Nylander last season, where – you know, a lot of talk about, you know, changing up some of the core. He was the guy that the Maple Leafs explored a trade around. And the difficulty around making a trade for William Nylander, which is why it didn't work, and I think most people are probably thankful it didn't work, because you've seen the type of player he's become. And, like, to me, William Nylander earned a lot of brownie points in Maple Leafs' eyes because of, you know, obviously his availability or not being available for the playoffs for the first couple games. But even when he came back, you saw a different William Nylander show up, and clearly not only just scoring goals, but with his attitude too. And I think that really embraced the fan base when it came to how they view William Nylander. But remember, the difficulty around a Nylander trade last year was that there was a lot of teams that explored the idea of bringing him on, but there wasn't a lot of teams that were falling in love with the contract demands that he was asking for at the time, which is what basically didn't allow a deal to take place, because everyone's like, yeah, we'll take the player. We love the player, but we're not giving up a ton of assets because
we don't even know if we're going to sign him to the contract.
We're not going to give him $10 million. And what happens? He goes out and he earns an $11.5 million contract.
I just wonder about, I mean, a number of things with this, but the trade return, it's not going to be apples to apples. You're going to lose the Mitch Marner trade.
I don't necessarily believe that.
If you make it, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe I view the situation differently. If I'm an opposing general manager, I'm looking at this Marner situation where the Leafs, I'm not going to say they have to trade him, but they definitely like to explore the possibility. You'd be selling low on Mitch Marner. He's not coming off this unbelievable playoff run. He's coming off this playoff run.
He's still coming off an incredible season. I mean, he had a
regular season. No, we're not talking about Mitch Marner's regular season resume. It's unimpeachable.
I get
it,
but AK, but if you have a team out there, I'm not denying anything, any point you're making about the playoffs, but if you have a team out there that is starving for elite talent and they see the possibility of bringing in a Mitch Marner, I still believe that you're going to be getting fair value for any type of deal. I don't think the Maple Leafs are selling. Maybe coming off his playoff performance, they're selling on a little bit of a low. But I still think Mitch Marner holds tremendous value in the market if he's available.
It's a great thing the Leafs have a general manager with a great history of making trades for 100-point players. Okay, I'm not going to be overly sarcastic here. I'm talking about the Matthew Tkachuk for Jonathan Huberdeau trade that Tree Living made when he was general manager of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, when he made that trade, everyone's like, wow, I can't believe Tree Living made this deal.
And then signed him to a $10 million contract. It was at the time, yes, it was. We did think, wow,
and think about the pressure that Tree Living was on at that time, where literally he had no leverage. He had a star player that had asked to be moved to a certain number of teams, and those are the only teams he could negotiate with. And yeah, he might be left with the same problem with a Mitch Marner trade if that's what they explore, because he controls the cards. He controls where he wants to go because of this no movement clause. You know what else he controls? He controls if he wants to stay with the Maple Leafs or not. Because if he says no to any type of trade, he could pull the Vince McMahon ultimate screw job and say, you know what, I'm going to play out this year and I'm going to walk as a free agent. I'm not going to allow you to trade me.
He would be one of the most reviled members. He'd be the new Vince Carter. He'd move, right? He'd move Vince into number two on the most hated Toronto athletes of all time. I don't see it coming to that. Generally speaking, if you're a proud athlete, I don't think you want to play for a team that doesn't want you to play for them. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case for Mitch Marner, but we're going to find out. I'm certain he'll be asked today when he's made
Krug
available.
Just did it.
He'll be asked today, Marner, do you want to play in Toronto next year? And I'm very curious to see what his response will be, because Maple Leaf fans, and I'm going to guess this is the case for everybody listening, don't really want Mitch Marner back as a Toronto Maple Leaf, and I totally understand why. Does Mitch Marner want to be back as a Toronto Maple Leaf? I think is a fair
And you know why? And you know why? And again, I urge caution on this, but I understand what you're saying, because I hear it too. Maple Leaf fans are just so sick of losing. And that's it. They're so sick of losing and watching this team lose in almost the exact same way all the time.
I want to point out also that Morgan Riley had a dreadful series against Boston. He should not be absolved of anything, and people will point their fingers at Mitch Marner. Morgan Riley was a beast last year for the Maple Leafs in the playoffs. I would argue he was the most consistent player over those two playoff series against Tampa and against Florida, but he really struggled. Had a terrible run against the Boston Bruins, and I don't know what that means for his future. I don't think it means anything for his future, because he is signed long-term. What is it, $7.5 million a year? He is the full no-move as well. Man, what a treat it must be to have a full no-move clause without winning anything. You just get gifted
again,
it.
AK.
It's just like so absurd.
Again, AK. Like I know we talk about, you know, a new team with new management, but this team still has a lot of Kyle Dubas's fingerprints on it. They decided to pay a group of players on this team, Matthews, Nylander, bring in Tavares, Mitch Marner, without accomplishing anything. Normally, teams would say, okay, yeah, we believe you're great players. Yeah, we want to keep you long term, but you got to show us that you're capable of winning stuff. And when you hand out all this candy without actually accomplishing anything, how does that really drive, you know, the players to go out? And yeah, look, I believe these guys care. They absolutely do care. But the problem is, caring is one thing. Results are another.
And the caring could be a 10 out of 10. The results is a 0 out of 10.
Darren Trechter is going to join us in about 25 minutes. We'll talk about his thought process with regards to how this plays out in the coming days and weeks, the future of Keefe, the future of Marner, and the future of Brendan Shanahan, which, as you pointed out at the beginning of this segment, may really determine everything that comes from
Do you
there.
Feel confident and if Shanahan's in charge, we'll see major changes? I don't.
What would constitute major changes? Firing of a coach? That would be a major change?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's going to be
coach,
something. There's going to be something.
Trading of a star player?
There is no way that they're running Keefe and the core five back, if you want to include Morgan Riley. There's no way. There is
How many
no
times
way.
Have we said this, though?
I know, you're right. But this is it. This is the last straw here, I'm telling you. All right, we'll play a little bit of overreaction or proper reaction this hour, and we will play some of the Tom Brady roast, which may have been the best thing that Netflix has put out. I thought Baby Reindeer was really good, too, but the rest of Tom Brady was something special. So we'll play that for you. With Dreger standing by, we'll also talk to Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star in hour number three. Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, coming up as well. This is First Up.
Now back to First Up with Karolnik and Koliakovo on TSN 1050.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Hey, it's Monday morning.
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
The right wing corner comes right in front. They score!
And the game-winning goal will end the Maple Leaf season.
Title defense over. The Stars have dethroned the Knights in seven.
A bit of an overreaction there.
No, the intense overreaction.
Panarin, left circle. He shoots, save. No, he scores! He scores! The Rangers lead 4-2.
The Cavaliers have knocked off the Orlando Magic in an epic first round, best of seven battle.
Don't overreact, okay?
Please don't overreact.
Bit of an overreaction, but what are you going to do?
All right, let's start off with some hardcore overreactions. The Toronto Maple Leafs should strip John Tavares of the C and give it to Austin Matthews. Overreaction or proper reaction?
It's an overreaction. We're going back to this C conversation again. Like, come on, man. How many times do we need to lay out that the C doesn't really matter that much? You put the C on Austin Matthews, what's that going to mean? It's a symbolic change. But you know what that's going to mean? That just means that after every playoff loss or every bad situation that happens, you're going to be listening to Austin Matthews talk versus John Tavares.
Which would be a nice change. It would be a nice change.
Okay,
hearing Tavares
sure.
talk puts
sure.
him to sleep.
Then you know what? It's a proper reaction then.
All right. Overreaction or proper reaction? It is more likely that Sheldon Keefe is back with the Maple Leafs next season than it is that Mitch Marner is back with the Maple Leafs next season.
It is more likely that Sheldon Keefe is back before Mitch Marner?
Yes.
I'm going to say proper reaction. I know everybody wants Mitch Marner to get traded and him to be the fall guy in this one, but it's not an easy trade to make. It's really not. I mean, and so unless they get blown away with an offer and unless somebody else is in charge running this team, which I guess we'll find out in the coming days if there is or if there isn't, I mean, I could see Sheldon Keefe returning to coach this team behind the bench, even though I know it wouldn't be, you know, a decision that would be welcomed very much by this fan base.
I think it's much more likely that Marner is back next year. Now, I don't think Marner will be back next year, but I think it's more likely simply because it is so much easier to change your coach than trade a guy with a no-trade clause and a $10.9 million cap hit. Firing Keefe just seems like the much more likely proposition. Now, I think both are likely. I think both will probably happen. That's my
a guy that
particular...
hasn't even started his contract extension though yet.
Nah, it's just money. Again, it would be stupid. Remember what Carolina did with Matt Rhule? They bring him over from whatever college he was at, and they paid him out five years. Yeah, it was Temple, baby, whatever. So I think they gave him 5 years.
They gave him seven.
Well, I think he coached a couple of years. Also, Russell Wilson didn't even play a single down on his contract extension.
That's true.
With the Denver Broncos. But Keefe, I don't see a world in which he's back. I think he's a fine coach. I think in his next job, he may have a lot of success. And I think there's a world in which the people closest to a Stanley Cup will be Sheldon Keefe and Mitch Marner in their next destinations. I know that's going to be painful to think about if you're a Leaf fan, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's how it played out. All right, next overreaction or proper reaction. The Toronto Blue Jays sewered Alek Manoah, throwing him into a major league start after just one decent performance in AAA.
I'm going to say this is an overreaction. I don't know if they sewered him, because clearly he, even in yesterday's game, he had some good stuff going for them. I just think they hung him out to dry. Like, everything Alek Manoah has been battling over the last calendar year, he's back in the major leagues. He's playing against a team they should beat. His team actually scores 6 runs in a game, which is absurd.
8 runs.
No. With him in the game. Okay, they scored 6 runs with him in the game. He has a 6-1 lead. He's running into trouble in the fourth inning. And instead of saying, okay, we're going to pump the brakes here, we're going to let him leave on a good note, make him feel good about himself, they hung him out to dry. They let him finish that inning. And they gave up a 5 spot. So instead of today waking up and saying, hey, man, I had some good stuff. I pitched almost 90 pitches, had a really good outing, gave our team a chance to win. He's waking up this morning saying, man, I suck again.
The problem is, and I agree, at least in part with what you're saying, is who are you bringing in the bullpen that you feel confident in, more so than Manoah, who was really good through 4 innings?
Doesn't matter. Anybody.
Their bullpen is awful right
now.
Everybody's getting torched.
I get it, but does it matter who you're bringing in? You're trying to build up the confidence of a guy who was supposed to be your ace last year. Like, that's what I... like. We talk about in the playoffs when they pulled Berríos for pitching a gem, and they pulled him because the computer said to pull him. This guy's trying to rebuild himself again. Where was the computer on this one?
Could have used it. Maybe it was, I don't know.
Did the computer say, nope, hang him out to dry, let him go, let him pitch out of it.
All right, last one. Let's play this Drew Bledsoe joke from the roast of Tom Brady last night. I want you to tell me if it's an overreaction or a proper reaction that went a little bit offside. Go ahead.
But I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Oh, snap!
Ooh. Man, there was another one that Bledsoe dropped last night where it was something like, Tom, when you were the quarterback of the Patriots, you never got touched, much like the end of your marriage to Giselle. And I was like, oh, my God.
I honestly could not believe how many jokes were made about his marriage with Giselle.
Mm-hmm. And the jiu-jitsu trainer who was swooping in there.
How about the woman? What was her name? She was actually hilarious.
Nikki Glaser. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I was legitimately crying.
Yeah.
It was so funny. Even Belichick had a couple of good jokes.
He was outstanding. He's like, holy cow, Belichick cracking jokes.
Belichick had one where he was talking about not butting heads with Brady. And it's hard to butt heads with someone when your head is so far up Alex Guerrero's ass. Talking about the former trainer of Brady, and there was some gold there. That's as good as it gets.
Nikki Glaser had an ass joke too, way over the line there.
I am so happy that it was essentially no holds barred.
Like,
it was,
I'm
just
with you,
man. Say whatever you want. Brady,
how about Kevin Hart?
Him.
Kevin Hart throwing a Giselle joke with Antonio Brown plus one.
That was the best one. Yes, I think if I can recite, it's so nice that Giselle made an appearance here tonight. It's too bad that she was Antonio Brown's plus one. It's
one.
Like, oh, my God. And if you've followed what Antonio Brown said about Giselle over the years since he departed from New England, oh, man, you'll know exactly. We'll play a couple more. 20 Fingers going to dig up a bunch more of those.
Edelman took it to...
Yeah, Edelman was unbelievable.
Gave it to Belichick.
He did.
Oh,
that was
man.
So good. Belichick was pretty good, too, as well. The Glazer joke about Gronk basically not speaking English was so funny. All right, Darren Dreger in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, man,
which,
so good.
It's a lot of questions. 11:30 today, Keith will speak, the players will speak. Yesterday, Matthew Tkachuk spoke, and he said something that Toronto Maple Leaf fans will not appreciate. That's next.
Time now for TSN 1050 Time Saver Traffic. The 410 southbound past Courtney Park crash is still blocking the right lane as delays start from the 407. And hopefully things will clear up shortly as we continue with problems on the 401 eastbound. The express past Avenue Road, still tractor trailer sitting there in the right lane. Solid both ways on the 401 eastbound before the 410 and westbound from Morningside. Gardner, south 404 DVP, continued volume delays, but we're problem free. Embrace spring weather with a Subaru all-weather drive event. Visit your local Subaru dealer to book a test drive today. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Dan Dealey.
Gameplay. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Gameplay. On TSN Radio. Embrace the odds.
For the win!
Game one between the Panthers and the Bruins tonight. I am taking Florida in three games. I think Boston's going to be beaten up so badly by the Cats. They're just like, you know what? We don't even need to play game four. We are terrible. All right. Sorry,
you know, Boston was 4-0 against Florida this year, right?
I you know what's probably going to happen is that Boston will beat Florida. And we'll be like, are you kidding me? Like, how is that even possible? We just saw this team.
And that's the thing. Like, if Boston all of a sudden now goes on and beats Florida and goes to the Stanley Cup Final, It would be perfect Maple Leaf, another excuse saying, yeah, we lost the team that went to the final again.
It's like Morgan Geeky is the Conn Smythe winner somehow. Pavel Zacha turns it on.
I still look at that Boston roster.
Man, they're not good.
How the hell did the Leafs lose to that roster?
Matthew Tkachuk disagrees. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
I think that, you know, without this coming out too badly, I mean, I think we all knew it was probably going to be Boston the way that series was going, and I'm sure a lot of people expect that at the beginning of the series, but plus, I guess you never know, but I think throughout the whole series, we were probably expecting they were going to come out and win it one way or the other.
Wow. the Leafs had a chance to, they had a chance to change that narrative and really make Boston the laughingstock, and instead, no one's ever going to remember Boston in the situation that they're in. It's almost repeating down 3-1, almost repeating losing the exact same way in consecutive seasons. No one's going to remember that anymore because all anyone's going to remember is the fact that Boston Bruins beat the Leafs in Game 7 again.
Like, so disrespectful, too, from Tkachuk. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's a very smart guy.
Well, did you hear Brad Marchand's answer on
what,
the ice?
We believe, or whatever it was.
So he was basically asked, so, you know, did you think that, you know, you guys were capable of doing this, you know, considering everything came down? He goes, yeah, we just had a lot of belief in our group. Belief.
Oh,
said.
The Leafs are like, just such a joke. What a shame. Change is coming.
It just sucks, man. It's just suck. Like, last year was supposed to be the start of the next step with this group, and instead, we're right back where we started.
But perhaps it's the beginning of some real seismic change with this organization. We're going to get Darren Dreger's thoughts on that on the other side. Mike Johnson in about 30 minutes as well. So the future of the Toronto Maple Leafs, what it could look like here this offseason, that with Darren Dreger next.
Time now for TSN 1050 Time Saver Traffic.
The 410 southbound past Courtney Park crash is still blocking the right lane as delays start from the 407. And hopefully things will clear up shortly as we continue with problems on the 401 eastbound. The express past Avenue Road, still tractor trailer sitting there in the right lane. Solid both ways on the 401 eastbound before the 410 and westbound from Morningside. Gardner, south 404 DVP, continued volume delays, but we're problem free. Embrace spring weather with a Subaru all-weather drive event. Visit your local Subaru dealer to book a test drive today. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Dan Dealey.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
The Toronto Maple Leafs eliminated from the postseason on Saturday night. They lose 2-1 in overtime to the Boston Bruins. Naturally, there will be questions, and we hope to get some answers as early as today, as the Maple Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe and the players will speak today at 11:30. Management, without any specification as to who that management is, will speak on Thursday. Let's welcome in TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
So when you see the release from the Leafs explaining what's going to happen with their postseason press conferences. Can we draw anything to the departure from the protocols that they had in the past? They're doing things differently this year. Does that infer to you that there could be maybe more significant change as early as this week than we expected?
Well, I mean, it is unusual that you would have a gap in the availabilities. So the fact that management, and I suspect that's Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan, would be available or are available, scheduled to be available on Thursday, you know, that just implies, doesn't it, that Treliving and company need more time. Now, I don't feel like he's up against the clock, per se, as a general manager here. But, you know, as we tore apart post-overtime loss of Game 7 on Saturday, there are a multitude of decisions that have to be made. And frankly, a lot of them that, you know, Leafs Nation and even media don't really know or understand as to how deep it cuts. Yeah, obviously, it begins with the coaching future of Sheldon Keefe as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But then you look at the roster. Okay, there are some things that organically have to get looked at with your crop of unrestricted free agents, which includes, you know, Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi and Joel Edmondson and Ilya Lyubushkin. I mean, there's some bigger pieces there, restricted free agents. And now you haven't even talked about what you're doing with the core. Are you really, really seriously going to consider trading Mitch Marner? And understanding, and the fan base needs to understand this, he has a full no-move clause. So, you know, unless you can identify and find a fit on the teams that Marner potentially, hypothetically, is willing to go to, that is a formidable challenge. So if we rewind and back it up here, I think it starts with the decision on Sheldon Keefe first. He's entering his two-year contract extension. At this point, and I, on Saturday, made it pretty clear that I thought that it was more likely than not there'd be a coaching change. I'm still leaning towards change because even though Sheldon, I think, has done decent work, you know, he's also part of a process and a hockey operation that hasn't been successful beyond the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs and painfully again beyond the first round this year of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's where it starts. So whether or not Treliving and Shanahan get to that phase by Thursday, I mean, it's possible. I don't think they're going to let it linger.
So, Drakes, the Keefe thing is a fascinating subject right now because he is scheduled to speak today.
Yeah.
If he was a guy that wasn't going to be around, why would he be out there speaking today?
It's a good question, right? And you know, again, that definitely adds a layer of intrigue to all of this. Is Sheldon Keefe going to say a lot more today than what he said on Saturday? In fact, I think, you know, if you want to again go back to, the darkest part of the series when Toronto was down 3-1. Remember the start of the series, and Sheldon made it clear he couldn't talk about anything because that was the direction of Brad Treliving. I can't talk about injuries. I can't talk about the availability of this guy or that guy. And by the time you got to game 4 and 5, he loosened up considerably, and he's still not doling out, you know, specifics on injury or whatnot, but he got a lot more forthcoming with information and almost philosophically in terms of what he saw. But I liked it, and I thought he did it with the players in mind. He didn't bury anybody. You know, he was just very honest in the approach, and he was honest in his assessment after the loss Game 7. You know, he looked at Games 3 and 4 and said, come on, I mean, we just weren't good enough, didn't play the game that we needed to play, and included maybe parts of Game 1 in that as well. Okay, well, again, a very honest assessment. So, It does seem a bit weird if there was going to be a change. Why would they roll him out to this point?
Right.
But I do think that anything is possible. I still feel that way. Until somebody that matters of substance says, he's our coach, this is not a coaching issue, which is also fair here, guys, right? Like, I think that all of us keep looking at, okay, well, it hasn't worked. So there has to be significant change. And we're all trying to map out what that change looks like. And it's not that simple, either with the roster, aside from, again, you know, unrestricted free agents walking in the open market if the Maple Leafs can't find a way to extend them. you know, finding that mysterious trade for an $11 million cap hit like Mitch Marner, who's going into the final year of his deal. What do you do with the captaincy of John Tavares? What do you do with John Tavares? I mean, on and on and on it goes. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just don't feel like Sheldon Keefe should be the fall guy. So if it's not the coach, then who is it?
Well, that's,
a lot
that's,
needs to get done.
That's a great question, Dregs. But don't you think any significant change with this group has to start with Shanahan and whether or not he's in still in charge or not? Because since he's been in charge, there hasn't really been significant change. And if he's still in charge, hard to believe that there still will be any significant change.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look at it more macro than micro. And I, you know, so if you're a board member of Maple Leaf Sports or you're Keith Pelley, you know, the new boss coming in, you're still really fresh. Do I think that Keith Pelley has had conversation with Brendan Shanahan? Of course he has. Do I think that Pelley, you know, supports Shanahan? I have no reason to think otherwise. I'll put it that way. Because you do have to look at it if you're in his shoes, Keith Pelley's, from a macro position. The business model of the Toronto Maple Leafs is as sound as any. Hockey operations, it's run pretty well, as far as I can tell. I mean, it's all based on resources, but the Toronto Maple Leafs players, staff, everyone associated lack for nothing. Well, some of that, a lot of that has to do with the overseeing of Brendan Shanahan. You want him to fault Shanny for anything? Maybe he's been too patient.
Yep.
You know, maybe he allowed, you know, the last regime in Kyle Dubas to linger more than he should have. Maybe he should have been more involved in that degree. Everybody assumes that everything that's decided in hockey operations has to have a stamp of approval from Brendan Shanahan. That's not reality. That's not what happens. You know, Kyle Dubas essentially had autonomy, and Brad Treloving does as well. Do you think those guys are actually making decisions without talking to Shanny? Why would you, based on his history? So, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could change the president. Is that really
going to change? Oh, no, I'm not advocating for that, Dregs. I'm just saying, if I almost think that...
What's going to change, Carlo? What's it going to change? So you're making a Leaf fan happy, or you're making the media happy? No.
Well, hold on. But I think it's also noteworthy that Shanahan is going into the final year of his contract, right, Darren? That is correct?
That's fair, and that's why this is even a little bit worthy of conversation for me. And it's because, okay, you're either flipping the switch, and you're deciding that, okay, if hockey operations genuinely is flawed, and you can make that case right now based on, again, all the challenges that Brad Treloving, his general manager, is going to have to face here. But the bigger decision, if you're the board or you're Keith Pelley, is, okay, if we're not going with a change in direction at the top, meaning Brendan Shanahan is safe, well, then the next thing is we need to extend him. What's the point of having him go into the final year? Now again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but it's also been Shanny's position, and by extension, the board of Maple Leaf Sports, to allow individuals to play out the string of their contract. Remember, that's essentially how you got into the Kyle Dubas situation last year. It's because they wanted to see the body of his work. Well, that'll apply to Brendan Shanahan, or it should if they're playing by the same playbook, and I think that they are.
TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger, our guest here on Leafs Breakfast. I wanted to go back to the Marner conversation. You brought up the full no move, which he has. Marner entering the final year of his deal, $10.9 million. And on July 1st, the Maple Leafs could extend him, and maybe they will broach that conversation. But I'm also curious about the other side of this, the other 31 teams around the NHL who would have to take on Marner's cap hit for this season, give him a contract extension if they were to trade for him, and give up significant assets to the Toronto Maple Leafs in order to bring Marner in. Do you think there's an appetite from a decent number of teams to do all three of those things, Darren, in theory?
Did we lose him?
I guess my question was so provocative that Darren Dreger, I just had to leave leave the show. So I don't know, we'll try to get Darren back on. I do think it's a reasonable question. I think there is this assumption from people that, oh, if the Leafs wanted to find a trade suitor for Marner, they could very easily. If you're another general manager who's sitting there watching the Leafs and the Bruins, be like, yes, I want to trade a lot of stuff off my roster, maybe draft picks as well, to trade for Marner and give him a massive contract extension, making him one of the highest paid players in the NHL. I don't know how many GMs out there are willing to do that. Do we have Dreger back on the line, guys?
Yes, he's back.
Okay, so Darren's back on the line. Darren, I'm not sure if you heard my question. Basically, to sum it up quickly, the prospect of another team trading for Marner, taking on his cap hit, giving him a contract extension, and giving up assets. You think there's a lot of teams out there who'd be willing to do that?
Well, yes. I think that there are teams out there that would be willing to do that, because what I will say, and we can all appreciate this, you know, teams around the NHL do look at the skill set of Mitch Marner and, you know, categorize him as being elite. For sure they do. His playoff production historically has been pretty sound. He's just not the player that Maple Leafs fans need him, want him, expect him to be in the playoffs, right? You know, the throw the team on your back type of guy. The guy like Austin Matthews in game two, or William Nylander as the series went on, right? And unfortunately for Marner, he hasn't been able to be that deciding presence. So yes, undoubtedly, there will be teams interested. It won't be easy because of the cap hit and the fit that is required. You know, if Mitch is leaving Toronto and he's got to sign off on that, he's going to want to go to a fit where he thinks that they can win. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And if you're a team that's interested, it's probably a sign and trade, because you really want to give up the assets, take on that big cap hit, and then have to tangle with Marner in free agency again. And the answer to that is probably not. So it's complicated, but possible. And I don't know. Let's see how it plays out. I don't think Marner wants out. I know that he loves playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but if the Leafs feel that that's their best way to move forward, then I'm sure he's okay with not having to deal with the noise every single day.
Dregs, can you give us an update as to what happened with Joseph Woll and his availability for Game 7?
Yeah, bit bizarre, to be fair. I was told, without being specific, he pulled something, and it's believed it happened on that goal late in the game with 0.1 seconds left.
Jeez.
So, you know, pulled the groin, something along those lines. But as Keith acknowledged, you know, they hoped it would get better during the off day, and in fact it got worse during the off day. The only thing I would say about Joe Woll, and Carlo, maybe you went through this, I'm sure you were around players throughout your career, he's got a history now of injury. So he's either incredibly unlucky, and it's probably a combination of things, or as a lot of athletes do, you go to a place where you've got to take stock and rethink your off season, how you train, all of the things, right? So I'm wondering if that's not in the near future for Joseph Woll, because he had an opportunity this year to take the net. I mean, the signs were there, weren't they, that he was ready, especially in the playoffs, and just bad luck. I mean, you know, injury takes out some of the best players ever. We can appreciate that, but he's got to find a way, I think, to train and put himself in a position to maintain that good health and not let luck become an issue. But that was a weird one, and the Matthews injury was weird as well. I mean, I was told that it was not concussion related, you know, perhaps symptoms related that could have drifted from the virus, from the illness that he was dealing with. So some weird stuff, which maybe we'll hear more about from Matthews today.
Darren, you think it would be fair for the Leafs to point out their misfortune in this series? And I'm sure I can just feel the entire listenership here just rolling their eyes when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. Joseph Woll misses Game 7. Matthews misses 2+ games. Nylander misses 3 games. Is that fair to use as an excuse, or there are no excuses at playoff time?
No, I wouldn't say they're excuses. You know, again, look at the Boston Bruins. They played an entire year with, what, you know, third line centers.
Exactly.
They didn't and couldn't replace Patrice Bergeron or David Krejci. And last I checked, the Boston Bruins played the right way, very structured, didn't panic. If Toronto played 4 of the 7 games the way they played Game 5 and 6, you're setting up a different series and you're looking at the Florida Panthers. That's just the reality. And they were able to do that, you're right, with a healthy Joe Woll, but without Austin Matthews and, you know, again, with the critics in Leafs Nation, without some of the other participants. But they played well. They played the way you have to play to win in the playoffs. So it was still there. They still had the talent to win.
You have a Florida-Boston prediction for us, Darren?
Well, I don't. It's not going to be a cakewalk for the Florida Panthers. But I do think that, that Florida is the best team. So I suspect that that one will probably go at least six games, but I think Florida wins.
I tend to agree. Well, yeah. This should be a fun week in Leafland. 11:30, yeah. The players and the coach, Sheldon Keefe, will speak to the media. Perhaps we'll learn something on that. And then Thursday, it's expected that management will speak. Again, no one is specified as to who the management are. Again, we anticipate it will be Brad Treliving and Brendan Shanahan, but we'll have to find out on Thursday. Thank you for doing this, Darren. We'll speak to you later this week.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
See you, Bill. That's TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. This hour of First Up was brought to you by 2for1pizza.com. Order a pizza and wings combo. One large pizza, three toppings, and 10 wings, only $29.49. Try their new Thai sweet chili wing sauce. 2for1pizza.com. Hour 3 is coming up. We'll talk to Mike Johnson. We'll talk to Dave Festchuk and give out our winners of the weekend. All that still to come.